Listen Lysak,
the podcast about glass processing. Hello and welcome back to Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. My name is Sarah Hummelsberger. I'm part of the Lysak marketing team, and the expert across from me is Harald.
Hello everyone, it's great to be here. My name is Harald Miksch and I'm a product manager here at Lysak.
Today we are recording again at our production facility in Lower Austria. And we are situated in the training facility, so maybe there may be some background noises about machines moving, and customers being trained. I'd like to start off this episode with an anecdote, because recently I've been on a vacation and I had to trust glass with my life.
Really? What happened?
I was at the Dachstein Glacier and they offer an attraction called the Stairway to Nothingness. There's basically a glass platform suspended over the foot of the wall, 400 meters or 1,300 feet in the air. And I wondered, what do you need to do to make glass this reliable?
Well, I don't know for sure, but this sounds a lot like laminated glass.
So what would have happened if the glass broke underneath my feet?
Not much. There would have been a nice spider web pattern, and you might have gotten a real fright, but the platform would have held. Whatever shock caused the first glass pane to break would have been absorbed by a foil and the glass underneath it. That one would have remained intact.
Phew, I'm not sure I would have cared to test it in any case. Can you tell me more about how this type of glass is made?
Sure. Let's start with the basics. What is laminated glass? Basically, two or more glass sheets bonded together by a foil. That's all. This composition appears as one pane of glass. That's why it seems like only one thin glass sheet when you walked across it.
That's actually brilliant. Who had that idea?
Like so many inventions, this solution was discovered by accident. A French man by the name of Edouard Benedictus dropped a glass flask filled with cellulose nitrate, which shattered but did not break into pieces. He realized that the plastic coating on the inside held the broken glass together. And boy, did he patent it.
And when did it happen?
What do you think?
Well, that's a tough guess. The name puts me in the mind of medieval times, but I'm guessing since float glass would be helpful, maybe around the 50s or 60s.
Close miss. Actually, it was 50 years earlier, around 1900. It was not immediately commercially available, because you need flat, clean surfaces for a strong bond with the foil. The first widespread application was during World War I, when they used it as eyepieces in gas masks and glasses for pilots.
But I suppose the application diversified once they had float glass to laminate.
Definitely. Among the first adopters were car manufacturers who used laminated glass for windshields, and they do this ever since. Today, laminated glass can be found almost everywhere. Of course, in death-defying staircases, but also in ordinary circumstances, like storefronts in urban areas, or glass facades on skyscrapers, wherever you need safety and security.
So I would assume not only the applications changed, the process probably also involved.
Of course, the industrial production of laminated glass nowadays requires a way more sophisticated approach. The assembly happens in a clean room, not to be confused with a cleaned room, but a temperature and climate-controlled, hermetically sealed and pressurized room. There, glass foil and glass are put together into a sandwich.
And sandwich is the technical term?
Funnily enough, it actually is. Two glass panes are there the minimum, but you can stack your sandwich up to around 10 centimeters or 4 inches high. This used to be a quite manual process in the past, but in the last decades, those steps became more and more automated. Especially moving and positioning the glass panes required precision, because any misalignment of the glass panes can easily be noticed. For instance, if you run your hand along the edges of a staircase railing.
Yeah, I can imagine you could feel that. So I'm glad there's silence again. Today we have two trainings outside. As we mentioned, we are in a training facility. And I think they're cutting glass right now. So hopefully we'll have more silence during the rest of the podcast. You talked about the position of the glass. What about the foil?
In many productions, this still remains a manual step, but there are automation options available. Consider that these foils need to be handled really with care. Stretching or folding them would lead to bad lamination quality. Using a modern foil magazine can help to avoid that by storing a certain number of foils above the assembly area. The foil is unwound over a chute and measured. Below, the unwound foil is clamped by a foil laying machine, cut exactly at the correct length by a cross-cut knife, and positioned on the bottom glass pane. Then, the carry-over lifter picks up the next glass and positions it precisely on top. The last step of the assembly is trimming the foil around the edges of the glass, leaving only a very small overhang. This can be either done manually or by the foil trim cut, if the glass is rectangular.
So I'm wondering, you said the edges need to be perfectly aligned. Why now the foil overhang?
Well, that's because now the sandwich goes into the oven, where the applied heat slightly shrinks the foil. Without the overhang, there would be no lamination on the edges. There are quite a few things, though, that need to be considered when the package goes through the oven. It's a little more complicated than making a breakfast sandwich. So depending on the glass thickness and the type of foil used, the speed, heat, and the way the temperature is applied varies.
How many ways to apply heat are there?
There are two technologies, actually, at play to heat up the entire package. The foil is heated using radiation that travels right through the glass, while convection is used to heat up the glass itself. Only when the right temperature is reached, the glass and foil join evenly and reliably. Additionally, rollers apply force to squeeze out any air trapped in the sandwich and improve the lamination result.
So that's that now. Do we have achieved lamination?
Not yet. Everything we've discussed so far can be summarized as pre-lamination. There is a final step necessary to create a lasting lamination and to restore the transparency of the glass package. This happens in an autoclave, another big oven that applies not only heat, but also very high constant pressure. The autoclave is loaded with several packages and the process lasts for 2 to 6 hours. Then, voila, laminated glass is ready to be delivered and installed.
So what would be typical installation sites for this glass? What can laminated glass be used for?
As mentioned earlier, the main applications are wherever safety and or security are of paramount importance. This is especially true for skyscraper facades, where any falling splinter might harm or even kill people passing by. Laminated glass also provides protection against crime and vandalism in shop windows, especially jewelers. If the package is thick enough, it could even be bulletproof.
So those are all exterior applications. Does laminated glass also play a role in interior glazing?
Certainly. Obviously, it can be used in stairs and balustrades, but that's also where the additional functions of the foil come into play. Laminated glass is used in soundproof studios and meeting rooms. Different color foils can add a splash of design to doors, walls, or windows. One of the coolest applications is probably switchable glass, where the click of a button and the use of electricity render the glass either transparent or opaque. And of course, walkable glass is used for thrilling attractions.
It seems we've now come full circle. I wouldn't have guessed how much went into my little Dachstein adventure. It's been a fascinating discourse, and I look forward to our next episode, where we'll be talking about logistics.
That can be a real game changer in glass processing. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you for your insights and your time.
This has been Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. Visit lysak.com to find out more about our innovative machines, automation solutions, software and services made in Austria.
Or visit our company blog to read about the latest in glass processing and glass finishing. For more insights, listen Lysak.